The scripture reading is taken from 1 John 5, 19 through 21. 1 John 5, 19 through 21. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols.
Good morning, everyone. That passage that was read was the last passage, or a passage from the last lesson, about guarding ourselves from idols. So this morning I wanted to pick up with that idea and talk about idols. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 15. A warning that Paul was giving to Christians to not behave in the ways that those who had come through the wilderness, the descendants of Abraham, who had been in Egypt and been in captivity and been in slavery, and also had been saved from a famine and had grown into a mighty nation, and then God extracted them from that place by many miracles and wonders and brought them across to take them to the promised land, and they did many, many things against God. And they turned their hearts away from God, and they turned to false gods, which were not gods at all. And Paul was warning the Christian not to behave according to the example that those had set. Wise men came to worship Jesus. They didn't come to worship idols. Wise people only worship that which is truly God. When we think about what we may worship, we should think about God, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The song we had today, every song we had today, Don, was perfect. And this song, His Grace Reaches Me. I didn't look over to see if DeLynn was signing that, but I remember when I was at Sunset that we learned to sign that song as we participated with some of the deaf ministry that was there. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Gift of God. You can't earn a gift. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. We don't do this to earn the grace, but we do this because of the gift that he has given us. It's our proper response to him to do the works which he has given us to do. And worshiping anything else other than God, his Son, and his Spirit would be entirely inappropriate for what God has created in his image, and to serve him and to do good works for him. Definition of idol: no such thing. Definition of idol. Didn't have to go to the Greek for this one, did we? No such thing. 1 Corinthians 8, 4, therefore concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. And you might say, well, Paul, you just don't know what's out there. But remember, it was Paul who was in Acts chapter 17, looking at all the idols until his heart was so provoked, and he found that last one that said to an unknown God. Paul knows what he's talking about. But his point is, yes, there are these little things that people call gods, but they are not God. There is no such thing. They're all in someone's crazy, depraved imagination. Idolatry is not for the wise. Is there any present-day idolatry? I thought it was interesting as we looked at what Solomon prayed for. And God's response to that tells a lot. Did you think about God's response to Solomon in the Bible class this morning when Solomon did not pray for long life? He did not pray for riches. He did not pray for vengeance upon his enemies. And God said, because you did not pray for these things, and he ends up getting them all anyway. And I'm thinking, well, that's a commentary from God on what men normally pray for. You see what I mean? In a sense, that's a commentary from God about what men normally pray for. God is saying to Solomon, you didn't pray for the things that men normally pray for. You prayed for wisdom, discernment, to judge this great people whom God had placed him over. Is there any present day idolatry? I don't think mankind has changed that much. We might still pray for long life and riches and vengeance on our enemies. What about dependence on the government instead of dependence on God? What about dependence on other people instead of dependence on God? What about desiring to influence or control other people? Do you just have to have your own way at home, at church, in the workplace? Do you really need to influence others and control others? Is it your idol? What about trusting in appearances, wealth, or fame? What about wanting more, more, more of everything? Are there other gods to choose? Are there other gods to choose? Are there other gods to choose to give us peace, to give us comfort, to give us hope, to give us salvation? Are there any other gods that we can turn to other than God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Is there anything we live for more than God? That would be an idol. Is there anything we live for more than Jesus? That would be an idol. Is there anything that we love more than them? That's what it's all about. God created us to have a relationship of love with him, a relationship of childhood to fatherhood. He is our father. We are his children. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to seek to have someone else to be our God. In Exodus chapter 21 through 6, then God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. It may seem unfair that God seems to be visiting punishment on the children of those who committed the crime, but we have to realize that the children are committing the crime too, that they're going generation after other gods until God gets their attention, turns them around, and they begin to serve him again. There's a pattern in the Old Testament that Richard Rogers at Sunset used to describe as paord, P-A-O-R-D, peace, apostasy, oppression, repentance, deliverance. It was a cycle. You can see it all through the Old Testament. Make a timeline, you'll see it. They have peace, then they have apostasy. They turn away from God. Then they are oppressed because of their sin. And then they repent. And then they are delivered. Peace, apostasy, repentance, deliverance. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. It's far better to live forever with God than to live on this earth and own everything. It's better than having a long life and riches and revenge on your enemies. It's better to put God first. Romans 1, 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. idolaters, or us. Whenever we put anything above God, we are without excuse. We know better. Romans 1, 21 through 23, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Wow, anyone want to? Well, I know Greg likes those snakes, but he doesn't worship them, amen? He doesn't worship them. And we need worms for our garden, but we mustn't worship them. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We have this problem even in the United States of America, and I have many friends who are Native American, and I've spent time among them, but sometimes they slip back into that old idea of worshiping pieces of the creation rather than the Creator who made it. And we have to be careful. We will begin to worship things that we have made. Buildings made of concrete and steel and wood and various things that we find sacred to us that are not God, but inventions of God's creation. Romans 1, 26 through 27, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Evidently, according to God, that's not the right thing to do. Amen? Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You know, whenever I see this, I often think of HIV and AIDS. Why? Well, people are doing things that God does not approve of nor authorize. There could well be a punishment for that. Romans 1, 28 through 31, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the nations, and do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified by them. And in Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, for the customs of the peoples are delusion, because it is wood cut from the forest, the work of the hands of a craftsman with a cutting tool. They decorate it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so that it will not totter. We were talking this morning in Bible class about how they would go up and worship under every green tree. Up on every high hilltop, they would find a place of worship. Sometimes what they did was worship to God, and in some cases that was acceptable. But often what they would do would go to their depravity and worship some object that they would carry up there in their hand, or that they would create out of stone or wood when they got up there. Ridiculous. Like a scarecrow in a cucumber field are they, and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them, for they can do no harm, nor can they do any good. They have no power because they are nothing. Paul has told us there is no such thing. Yet people made those things, looked to those things, put hope in those things, trusted in those things, and those things are not God. Jeremiah 10, 6 through 7, Jeremiah, speaking to God, says, there is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. Jeremiah didn't have an easy life. Jeremiah didn't plan on being a prophet. God got a hold of him when he was very young, and he said, I'm too young for this. And God touched his mouth and said, look, I put my words in your mouth. And Jeremiah had a rough life, but he served God. And I remember in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, he says, If I say I will not remember him, nor speak any longer in his name, then in my heart it is like burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. It was harder for Jeremiah to shut his mouth and not say the things of God than for him to suffer the pain and the cost and the loss physically of serving God. And here is an Asherah that you carry in your hand. You carry it up to the high place with you. You set it underneath a tree the way maybe one would set a present under a Christmas tree today. And under every green tree and on every high hill, they would set their little idols beneath the tree and bow down and worship them as if they were something, but they were nothing. But they altogether, stupid and foolish in their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz, the work of a craftsman and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple and their clothing are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. You remember what Jesus said about the lilies of the field? Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as one of these. We cannot beat God in anything. We can't make something more beautiful than what he has made. We can't have more power than him. We can't have more wisdom or knowledge than him. And we can't make any God of our own like him. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his wisdom, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. So they carry these idols in their heart, and they carry these idols in their hand, and they carry these idols with them to hellfire. Because all of these things, and the ones who follow them, are going to perish in a lake of everlasting fire. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. Do you see these two little heads within the fingers of a human being? That's within the fingers of the archaeologist who was digging near Jerusalem and found them and many other things that were idols that people would worship. Can you imagine putting your trust in something like that? Can you imagine substituting that for the real God of heaven and earth? Unbelievable. Yet people do such crazy things. And we do it today when we put anything above God. Jeremiah 10:16, he says, the portion of Jacob. Who is Jacob? Jacob's name was changed. Do you remember? His name became Israel. And so when we talk about the nation of Israel and those who were related to God that way, children of Abraham, children of Jacob, Israel, they were the heirs. They were connected to God. The portion of Jacob or Israel is not like these, for the maker of all is he. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. And who has that inheritance today? Who today would be the heirs, the children of Almighty God? Ephesians 1:13-14. In him, Ephesian Christians, Paul is writing to those Ephesian Christians, those Christians who burned over $1 million in today's marketplace in the silver weight that's mentioned in the Bible, burned their books of magic and sorcery in the street so everybody could see their commitment, and so they could not go back to those, and they didn't count the loss because the gain was so much greater. To these Christians, he writes, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now you can take that to heaven, amen? That's not something that you put inside of your heart that takes you to hell. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. If you have Christ in you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, which you receive at baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you are a possession of God Almighty. You are his child. You belong to him. He will take you to be with him for eternity if you stay faithful to him. Israel is Jacob. Jacob is an heir of Abraham. In Christ, we become Israel now. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. God will keep his promises to those who are faithful to him. Jeremiah's admittance of his need for God and a cry for mercy. Jeremiah 10, 23 through 24. "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing." How would you like to have a war against God? That's a guaranteed loss on our part. The sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus. With a diamond point, it is engraved upon the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars. As they remember their children, so they remember their altars and their Asherim by green trees on the high hills. I don't know how well this image, but that's supposed to be a guy bowing down under a tree, which it is. And that's in a public place. And there were other people walking around, and this guy just comes and bows down to the tree. I don't know if he's got one of these Asherim in his pocket, but either way, he's a dead man, unless he changes. "O mountain of mine in the countryside, I will give over your wealth and all your treasure for booty, your high places for sin throughout your borders. And you will, even of yourself, let go of your inheritance that I gave you, and I will make you serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which will burn forever." Anyone recognize the image behind us? That's the Burning Man Festival they have. They get up there and do all kinds of things that were very similar to idolatry. All kinds of debauchery, people running around naked or nearly so, and making statues to burn. Like just showing really what's in their heart. Showing really what's in their heart. Annual event. "Thus said the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear. And when the heat comes, will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit." Mankind starts out often with many good ideas and good things. You could say Walt Disney, you know, was desirous of building something really cool, really fun for families to go to. And it might seem like this green tree at first, but you know, when you think about this tree, it's what it's become. Now they have Gay Day. You can go to Walt Disney and take your children and be careful when you go, because now they have Gay Day when they honor the homosexual and his and her ways. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick," who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Let us be careful what we carry in our heart. Let us be careful what we carry in our mind. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, Revelation 2, 18 through 21, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. You know, whenever I turn on the public television station, I hear, oh, diversity and toleration. Diversity, we must be diverse and we must tolerate. Toleration is not always good. God will zap you for tolerating certain things. Amen? You can be zapped. Do you want to be zapped? I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. What was Jezebel? Who was Jezebel? The wife of Ahab, right? Against the prophets of God. She was the one who had all the prophets of Asherah and Baal eating at her table. She's the one whose prophets died on Mount Carmel when Elijah made a challenge. She's the one who insisted then that she would kill Elijah. And she's the one who was eaten by the dogs, except for her face and the palms of her hands. And I had a feeling that dogs don't like the taste of all those cosmetics. And I'm thinking, the palms of her hands and her face, you know. Dogs must not like the taste of those cosmetics. But if you want to find Jezebel, just wait a few hours and follow the dogs. There you'll find her, piece by piece. Refuse on the ground. She did her very best to destroy God's work in that nation, to lead her husband astray, and he was a fool that was her slave. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. Adultery? How can nations commit adultery with this person, Jezebel? We have to remember that God often uses adultery as an analogy for idolatry. Because we are to be bound to him. And if we go after another, it's adultery. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. So Jeremiah said it. John wrote it down. God is one who searches the heart and searches the mind. You remember a few lessons ago, we talked about the importance of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength being focused and belonging to our God. Upon a high and lofty mountain you have made your bed, Isaiah says in 57:7. You also went up there to offer sacrifice. Isaiah 57:20 through 21, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet. Its waters toss up refuse and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. No peace for the wicked. 1 Peter 4, 3 through 5. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. Peter, writing to Christians who were scattered abroad, he says, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised. They, these ones who commit these things, are surprised that the Christians Don't participate in these things. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. Do you know that I will not buy a movie put out by Disney? Do you know that I will never pass through their gates? Not here, not in Hong Kong, not in anywhere. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Surprise, idolaters, we don't run with you. 1 John 5:19 through 21, we know that we're of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, that is the real God. And we are in him, that is the real God, who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ, the real God. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. So important to so many important New Testament writers to remind people to guard themselves from idols. Even in Acts chapter 15, one of the main focuses was don't get involved in idolatry. Don't get involved. I'm talking about the rules that were to be bound on the Gentile Christians. Revelation 2, 24 through 28, but I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, going back to Jezebel, who have not known the deep things of Satan. Stay away from the deep things of Satan. They can swallow you up. The deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. There's more to come. After this life, there's more to come. Don't let our focus be on this life and the things in it. Do not love the world or all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the boastful pride of life. All those things are passing away, but the one who will do the will of God abides forever in a happy place. You want to go to your happy place? A happy place forever. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The wise hear and take action. Every now and then I'll pop in this little thing in our lessons that says, Good Listener Award. This is what Jesus is saying. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If you have something in your life that shouldn't be in your life, that could be idolatry. If you have trust in anything more than you trust in God, that is idolatry. If you want to change that, it's a conscious decision, and it will take effort. It will take work on your part. Going back to the lessons we've had previously, we examine ourselves, and we should examine ourselves daily to see if there's any idol in our mind or in our heart. Because guess what? God's always and already and even now looking there in your mind and in your heart. If you've not been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you could join the work today. You could become a part of the family of God. You could let your old self die, be buried, and be raised from the waters of baptism to become a completely new person, no longer having any of your sins counted against you. And you could live for God each day, examining yourself daily and removing the idols from your heart and from your mind. Well, I guess I should stop now, and I just want to offer you the invitation to come up and let us know how we can help you with any of this or anything else as we stand and as we sing.